Well, good morning. It is a privilege to speak God's word to you this morning. As Aaron mentioned, we're going to be going through a lot of text today. So if you do have your handout or a Bible nearby, that's going to be really helpful as we don't have our usual screen projector today. So please do grab that if you're able. So you've probably heard the phrase before, pride goes before a fall. This phrase comes from Proverbs 16, verse 18, and this phrase isn't popular for only Christians. It's widely used in really all of culture, and I think for good reason. It is so clearly and so often shows itself to be true in people and in our world. I recently listened to a Christianity Today podcast called The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. It recounts the history of this one church in Seattle, in the U.S., called Mars Hill. And one of the things that struck me about it, as they recounted the church's birth all the way through its implosion at the end, one thing that struck me was how often pride and people's puffed up attitudes played a part in the church's fall. I think sadly, even in Christian ministry, we see a leader after leader rise to prominence and fame, only to fall through scandal or various sins. So if we know the Bible's teaching about the dangers of pride, that it does come before a fall, why does it keep preying on us? Why does it seem that so many Christians, even us, can be blind to its destructive nature? Well, as Aaron mentioned, we are taking a break from Acts this week and heading over to 2 Chronicles. And today we're going to look at one of the southern kingdom of Judah's, one of their kings called King Uzziah. 2 Chronicles really recounts the history of Israel's kings. Some of them were really good. They did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Some of them were evil, and they made idols and encouraged idol worship. And what we'll see today in Uzziah's life is that he genuinely seeks the Lord, and the Lord made him quite successful. Could this be God's promised king, the one to bring God's peace and God's reign? Well, sadly, Uzziah's life ends in unfaithfulness and tragedy as pride leads to his sin and his downfall. So as we walk through the passage, I want us to see three lessons that I think we can learn from Uzziah's life. And you'll see those there on your handout. So with that, let's look at the first lesson, the dangers of success. So in verse 1, we read that Uzziah took over the throne when he was 16 after his father Amaziah had died. The author, if you look through his account of Uzziah's life, he divides it in kind of two periods. So the first half, verse 1 to 15, is a period of faithfulness and success for the king. And then the second half, verse 16 to the end, accounts his unfaithfulness and judgment. And so early on in his reign, in verse 4 and 5 there, we read that Uzziah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 5 says he sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of the Lord. As long as he sought the Lord, it says the Lord gave him success. What kind of success did the Lord give him? Well, in the next few verses, all the way up to 15, we see some examples. So in verse 6 to 8, we see that the Lord gives him national success. Verse 7, God says, it says God helped him take back land from their enemies. In verses 9 to 10, we see domestic success. He's a lover of good old farming. He loves the soil, and the people prosper as a result of his farming. Then in verse 11 to 15, we see military success. He's got a huge army who's ready to go. He's even inventing defense devices for his towers. And then notice that this is success from the Lord. The Lord helps him. Uzziah was truly seeking God. And then what happens as a result of his success? Well, verse 8 says that his fame spread because he had become very powerful. We get a similar thing in verse 15. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. Uzziah had made quite the name for himself. I think there's an encouragement here for us. When Uzziah seeks the Lord blessed him. This doesn't mean that Uzziah's works somehow earned God's favor, but I think it does remind us that God's law reflects his good character and his care for us. As we stay on the path of his instruction, we experience the blessings that he intends, even if those blessings come later and even into eternity. But while there's an encouragement, I think there's also a significant warning. So all 15 verses of Uzziah's success are clarified by the first word of verse 16, but. Uzziah was famous and successful. He sought the Lord, but. But after he became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. I wonder if you've heard this saying before. It's attributed, I think, to Abraham Lincoln. Says this, nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. I think most of us believe in some sense that if success comes our way, that we can handle it. We can be like the person who prays, Lord, give me authority. Give me success. Give me a thriving career. Lord, I can handle it. I'll do great with it. And these certainly aren't bad things to pray for necessarily, but I think we can be easily deceived by the glamour of success and fail to see the dangers of it. I love the image that Puritan author Jeremiah Burroughs gives us of the dangers of success. He says that just as the sweet nature of honey draws the danger of bees, so people in prosperous positions attract the devil and his schemes and temptations of all kinds. I think we often think that we are most vulnerable to spiritual attacks when suffering comes our way, but in reality, success can be just as spiritually deadly, if not more so. And this was certainly true for God's people in the Old Testament. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God's people are reminded to beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments. Otherwise, when you've eaten and are satisfied, when you have built good houses and lived in them, your silver and gold multiply, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God who brought you from the land of Egypt. What is the command for God's people here? To beware. Beware when you get the job promotion at work. Beware when you are accepted into that prestigious school. Beware when your bank account keeps growing and growing. If we're not careful, our hearts can become proud. This is what God shows us in his word. We can forget God. We can act like our achievements or our skills are born out of our own power and our own wisdom. In doing so, we create idols of ourselves. Well, what can we do then? Well, the answer is not to just avoid success or shun God's blessings when they come. No, instead, when God does bless us, when he does give us success, we must examine our hearts carefully and honestly. I think a good question to ask when success comes is, what is my heart doing? James chapter 1 reminds us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Like any wise Father, God wants us to learn to be thankful for all the gifts He has given us. I think that it's gratitude that's going to keep our hearts in right relationship when success comes. Giving thanks is a pride killer. So when success does come to you, and perhaps it has recently, do you take time to thank God in prayer? Do you regularly acknowledge that all you possess is not yours, it's from the Lord? Whatever we do, let's be those people whose hearts are lifted up to gaze at God and glorify Him when He grants us success or fame. Well, King Uzziah's success does lead him into danger. Verse 16 tells us his pride led to his downfall. And so our second lesson we learn, number two, the perils of pride. So in this next section, I think we see four ways that pride plays out in Uzziah's life, four ways that pride manifests itself. I think the point for us is that we might identify this in our own lives, that we might root it out. So first, pride exalts the self. So pride here, there in verse 16, that word, in Hebrew, the meaning of this is to be lifted up, to be brought up high. The same word is used to say that the Lord is exalted and lifted up. But here it's not the Lord being exalted, it's Uzziah exalting himself. Uzziah literally lifts himself up higher than God. As a result, the text tells us he was unfaithful. He entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, if you remember, the temple and the temple ceremonies were reserved for those set apart by God to act on Israel's behalf. Exodus 10 reminds us that this is the priests and the Levites only. They were set apart. And so sure enough, right when he tries to enter the temple, he's confronted by the priest, Azariah. So Azariah follows him in with 80 other priests, quite the entourage, and they confront the king, saying in verse 18, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God." This is really bad news for Uzziah. It's hard for us, I think, to understand just how horrible this was. We don't have the same familiarity with the temple. But God, recently, back in Numbers, has destroyed people for doing something like this. Just read the story of Korah in Numbers 16. This is like spitting in God's face, ignoring His holiness. Uzziah felt so strong and important that he thought it didn't matter who was supposed to do this. I'm above ordinary people. I'm King Uzziah. Friends, I think pride will make us believe that we deserve better than what we've been given. Whatever role, whatever job, that we deserve better. We deserve better treatment from others. Better vacations, maybe. Better rewards for our hard work. Our worldly success, our attractiveness, can make us believe we're entitled to being discontent. That we're in the right, even, to mistreat others. We can justify just about anything when we are proud. In a similar way, how often can we think that trials, even like the trial we're in as a city, limits, rules, those are meant for other people, but not for us? Yeah, I know that rule is good, but that's not for me. I know God said not to do that, but it's me. He'll be fine. He'll love it. Don't you see how much I help out at church? Don't you see my knowledge of God's word, how much I do to serve other people? Friends, we must take this warning from Uzziah. Be careful that what you've achieved doesn't lead you to think that God's law or normal Christian practices don't apply to you. Especially if you're someone who's been granted much success. This is a city where lots of people experience success. You especially need to watch out for this. Whether it's treating others in your family or workplace in an angry or calloused way and thinking it's fine. Or ignoring commands about spiritual disciplines, or even being faithful to your spouse. Exalting yourself will lead you to places that you do not want to go. So pride exalts the self, but number two, pride minimizes God's holiness. Uzziah's problem wasn't just that he thought too highly of himself, it was that he thought too lowly of God. Uzziah had lost some of his reverence for God, the fact that he is perfect and set apart and above us, really, in every way. In Isaiah chapter 6, we get a glimpse of what God's presence does to a human being. If you remember, Isaiah gets swept into God's throne room, and for a moment he sees God for who he really is. He cries out the only thing he can think of, "Woe is me. I am ruined. I'm a sinner. I live in a world of sin. Get me out of here." Isaiah sees God rightly, and one day all of us will see him as he really is, in his divine essence, filled with unimaginable power and glory. We will be undone. All of our worldly success and fame at that point will count for nothing. Friends, pride will cause us to lose some of our awe and reverence for God. We'll treat him flippantly, as if his ways aren't really that much above our ways, or his thoughts aren't really above our thoughts. Number three, pride rejects counsel. What's interesting about this part of the story is the care, actually, shown by the priests. So in verse 17, we see that they come and tell Uzziah, "Hey, look, you really don't want to be doing this. God will not be honored. Leave before something terrible happens." This is really merciful by the priests and even by God to allow Uzziah some patience to send in these priests. But how does Uzziah respond? "Oh my goodness, thanks guys, I really messed up. Thank you for caring enough to save me and from doing something so foolish." Fortunately, no. Verse 19 tells us Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. "How dare they confront me in my worship? Don't they know who I am?" As one pastor says about this verse, God doesn't usually appear to us in blazing fire to confront our sin. Instead, he'll send people to do this. He'll send others in your church. He'll send our spouse to do this. He'll send your parents. He'll send your roommates, your elders or pastors, that they may speak his word into your life. The priest Azariah is not making this up. This is God's word brought to him, and he becomes angry. Pride will dismiss any notion that you're actually in the wrong, that you can't do something that you want to do. And then finally, number four, pride is costly. So what happens to Uzziah because of his sin? Well, verse 19, after he becomes angry, he was raging at the priests in their presence. Leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, and so they hurried him out. Indeed, he was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. Verse 21, King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous, banned from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. So after 50 years of faithful rule, this is how it ends for King Uzziah. Do you see what he lost here? He lost his health as God strikes him with leprosy. He lost his fame, his power, his reign as king. But even greater than all of these, he lost access to God. He was banned from worshiping in the temple. Pride is this costly. What will pride cost us? Well, if you're a Christian this morning, pride will cost our unity as a church family. Romans 12 tells us to live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Pride will prevent us from living in harmony with each other. We won't love as we should. We won't serve as we should. Instead, we will demand others serve us, that others care for us. Pride will also ruin relationships. How many times have you said something in your pride that you later regret? Not only this, but pride could cost you intimacy with Jesus himself. As you see pride grow in your heart, you'll see your love for Christ diminish. Like a disease that slowly goes from organ to organ, it'll take over your heart and root out any love for the Savior. And if you're not a Christian this morning, the cost of pride for you is even higher. Proverbs 3:34 tells us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Throughout the Bible, really, those who exalt themselves, who believe they're okay on their own, Scripture says will be lost in their sin. Just as Uzziah's pride excluded him for the temple, so the penalty for exalting yourself above God will exclude you from him eternally. This is you this morning. The call is to count the cost, to come to God humbly, to recognize your need of him. So if you're anything like me, and you're challenged, convicted by the evidences of pride in your own heart, I think the question becomes, okay, what can we do? What hope do we have to grow or remove what we see in ourselves? And that brings us to our last lesson, number 3, the humility of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul says this, the church in Philippi, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus provides believers an alternative way to pride, one of servant-like humility. The one person in the universe who actually deserves the highest praise made himself of no value, weak and poor. So how can we grow in the area of pride? Well, the first thing and the most important thing we must do is meditate on the gospel, that God's own son would bring himself so low for our sake. Author Richard Baxter says this about this verse in Philippians. "Look to the humbled Christ who humbled you. Can you be proud while you believe that your Savior was clothed with flesh and lived in meanness, and made himself of no reputation, and was despised and scorned and spit upon by sinners, and shamefully used and nailed to a cross. And can pride look at a crucified Christ in the face or stand before him? Friends, the more that you meditate on Christ and how low he brought himself for our sake, the more pride will be rooted out of your heart. And then pray too that God would help you be like Christ more and more in this way. How might you do that even this week? Not only does Jesus, though, provide hope for growing in the area of humility, he's also the means of salvation for proud people like you and like me. If we measure ourselves against God's law like Uzziah, we too would be cast out of the temple of God's presence. Each of us, even those of us as successful as King Uzziah, we fail to follow his perfect law. But praise the Lord, in the New Testament, we encounter a faithful king in whom there is no pride. The righteousness of this king is not even just for himself, but he gives it to all who place their trust in him. We have hope today because we live under a king who not only showed his people how to live humbly under God, but he took the punishment of pride that we deserved. He was cast out instead of us, and we now can be credited with his perfect account. And this means that we can approach God's throne with confidence even today so that we might receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. The law condemns us in our pride, but in Jesus we find the mercy that we so desperately need. Praise God for his salvation. So then, in a world where it seems that leader after leader falls prey to the dangers of pride, or even the great Israelite king Uzziah was caught in it, there's great hope for us who are in Christ. Not only has Jesus paid for every failing, but he promises to sanctify our hearts as we earnestly and regularly pray for the Holy Spirit to do so. Let's pray together as we close. Father, we do thank you for this portion of your word. Lord, we pray that you would help us in this area of pride. We thank you for Jesus, who had every right to demand praise and adoration, but instead chose a path of weakness and humility that we might be saved and that you might have the glory. Lord, would you help us avoid the dangers of pride in our lives as we look more and more to Christ, even this week. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.